Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
So often the Christmas season becomes commercialized and rather overwhelming. For the next few moments, we invite you to join us with Dr. Paul Chappell on Daily in the Word as we turn our hearts towards the Christ of Christmas. Stay with us. So many things are fighting for our attention this time of year. There are family gatherings and church fellowships and time to shop and time to spend with friends. You know, there is one that deserves your utmost attention, your utmost worship. He is the center of it all, the Christ of Christmas. And today on Daily in the Word, we're going to focus on Jesus. He is more than the reason for the season. He is the beginning and the end, God in the flesh, the God-man, the Redeemer, the Heavenly King, sent to be our Savior. Welcome to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Today, Dr. Chappell helps us to focus on Christmas. Before we join our message, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. You'll find lots of resources to help you in your spiritual growth, and you'll find out more information about this program and this ministry, dailyintheword.org. Refer a friend to subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and daily devotional. You'll enjoy these resources, and so will someone that you love this season. All of it's to be found at dailyintheword.org. Today, we study God's promise of a heavenly king. Here's Paul Chappell.
Now notice what the Bible says in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now this is a promise to all the nations. The government shall be upon his shoulder. You see, as the good shepherd places the straying lamb upon his shoulder, as the good shepherd would bring that straying lamb to safety, God's word says that Jesus Christ will place the government upon his shoulder. And at the second coming, Jesus Christ will fulfill the covenant that he made to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 12 through 16. In 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 through 16, we find what is called the Davidic covenant. And there God made a covenant with David. And he said, David, one day I will establish your throne and your kingdom will reign forever and ever. This will be a promise given unto the Jews. And this promise to the nations is that one day when the Messiah comes, he will establish that kingdom and he will sit and rule and reign on David's throne. And this world, which has been looking for peace since the beginning of time, will find peace finally when Jesus Christ comes again. And here we see the ramifications of this verse telling us, yes, he's coming once as a baby in a manger, but he's coming a second time as King of Kings and as Lord of Lords, and he will establish his kingdom forever. Jesus will establish the kingdom promised to David. And we see in Luke 1 and verse 32, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Do you see the parallel from Isaiah to Luke? The parallel simply being, God says to Isaiah, and Isaiah says to the children of Israel, one day when this Messiah comes, he will establish a kingdom. That kingdom will be the fulfillment of the prophecy given to David. And so when we read in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is very clear to reveal to us that he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. God's Holy Spirit wants us to take note of the fact that the promised Messiah in Isaiah is the one who came in the book of Luke. And we need not look for any other Messiah today, for the Messiah has already come in Bethlehem's manger, and that same Messiah will come again the second time to establish this kingdom that was not established the first time. For the Bible says, at his first advent, he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But my friends, the second time, he will be received. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So Jesus will establish the kingdom promised to David. And then secondly, the kingdom will be characterized by his righteousness. The kingdom will be characterized by his righteousness. Now, would you look over in Isaiah chapter 11 just for a moment? And in Isaiah chapter 11 verses 1 through 12, we find the characteristics of this coming kingdom. We find a glimpse of what the world will be like when Jesus rules and reigns. And some of these scriptures have been used by the United Nations, as such as beating the spears into plowshares and so forth. Unfortunately, they have not been able to bring the kind of peace that Jesus will bring. And when we read here in Isaiah 11, we see what real peace is going to be like when Jesus Christ comes again. And I want you to notice specifically the Bible speaking of it in verse number 4. It says, "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." But you'll notice in verse 5, righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins. You see, what we are seeing in this passage about this coming kingdom, what we are learning about Christ as the one who will have the government upon his shoulders, is that finally righteousness and justice will prevail with Jesus Christ seated on the throne of David and ruling and reigning in this world. Sometimes we look around the world and we see what we feel to be injustices. We see things that we don't understand. We see things that seem unfair. But my friend, there has never been fairness. There has never been justice. There has never been righteousness like the world will see when Jesus Christ rules and reigns. And the Bible says that righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, or everything that he does will be right. This is the kind of a kingdom that Jesus will establish. And I think oftentimes in the day in which we live today, it seems that the majority of the Americans are more concerned about the economy than they are about right, and than they are about righteousness. And it seems as though people are saying, hey, let's not rock the boat, you know? But I want to say to you this morning that one day when the government is upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ, righteousness will prevail. One day when the government is upon his shoulders, and it's very obvious that we in this day and age don't seem to have the ability always to lead in a right way or to live in a right way. But when Jesus Christ comes, righteousness will prevail. And what a great day that will be. I don't know about you, but I look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ to this world. I look forward to the day when he will rule and reign in righteousness, and when this world will have for the first time a righteous leader endeavoring to lead and leading us in the ways of God. You see, the Lord Jesus, whom we exalt at Christmas time, is not just a baby in a manger. He is not a character in a children's story. He is far more than that. The first time that Jesus came, he came in the form of this child. But the next time he comes, and I believe it will be very soon, he will come unveiled, and it will be abundantly and immediately clear to all of the world that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The first time he came, a star marked his arrival. The next time he comes, the whole heavens will roll up like a scroll, and all the stars will fall out of the sky, and he himself will be the light. The first time he came, the wise men and shepherds brought him gifts. The next time he comes, he will bring gifts, rewards for his own. The first time he came, there was no room for him in the inn. The next time he comes, the whole world will not be able to help contain his glory. The first time he came, only a few attended his arrival, some shepherds and some wise men. But the next time he comes, every eye will see him as he comes. The first time he came as a baby. But the second time he comes as the sovereign King and Lord. I hope you're getting the picture in your mind. Some people view Christianity as a weak religion, and they view the baby in the manger as just sentimental hodgepodge. But I think this morning we would be wise to hear the prophecy of Isaiah that this little baby, this little child, will come again, and the government of this world will be upon his shoulder, and he will rule and reign in righteousness. And my friend, if you think that some people today are acting a little too conservatively, or they're a little bit too prudish, you had better mark it down, brother, that when Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning, righteousness will come. And Jesus said in his first coming, he comes to bring a sword, which oftentimes means division. He separates right from wrong. There is no middle ground. And thank God that we will all rejoice in his righteousness. There'll be no debating. There'll be no voting. His righteous rule will conquer this entire world, and we will say, thank God for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The little baby is coming as a king, and I submit to you that if you are not a child of the king, that you put your faith in him this morning, and that if you are a child of the king, and you have been living away from God, that you come back into submission to the Lord Jesus today and say, Lord, rule and reign in my life. And so the innkeeper who had no room that first Christmas, and then the world today which has no room, will all open their hearts and say, Lord, I receive you as my King. Now we see this morning the promise of the nativity. It is a promise of salvation. But we see the promise to the nations, which is a promise of hope. And we thank God for the promise of hope. And I thank God this morning that we have hope even in this nation. My heart was thrilled to see so many saved in recent days. And I believe that the hope of this nation is found primarily in people coming to Jesus Christ, don't you? But ultimately, in people looking to him as the King. But I want you to notice, thirdly, the promise in the names. The promise that we have in the names of this verse. Now, the Bible says in verse number 6, that there are several names that he will be called when he comes. The Bible says the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, here we see that there are many names given for our Savior, and these names also have promises for us to hold on to. They have promises of peace for us to look forward to. First of all, the Bible says he is called Wonderful. He is wonderful. In his love and in his grace, Jesus Christ is wonderful. How many of you believe he's wonderful this morning? He is wonderful. And sometimes as a teenager, we'd sing that song, isn't he wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? And the Bible says he is wonderful. Notice, secondly, it says he is the Counselor. Jesus Christ is the revealer of the Father's will. He is the one who shows to us the heart of God. Sometimes someone will go to another person for counsel. And if that person is a godly person, this person seeking the counsel is hoping to find the Father's will revealed. They're hoping to find through the Scriptures and through prayer and through godly counsel the will of God in the matter. But thank God for the will of God, we can come to the Counselor, Jesus Christ. He is wonderful. He is the Counselor. Then the Bible says of him, he is Mighty God. He is Mighty God. Yes, Jesus Christ is called in the Scriptures Mighty God. He is called Mighty God. You say, what separates Christianity today from the cults who do not believe in the truth of Jesus Christ? And this is the differential. We believe that Jesus Christ is Mighty God. And the cults today would deny that truth. They would deny the deity of Jesus Christ. But here alone in the Scriptures, he is called Mighty God. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20, the Bible says, and we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. What is John telling us? He's saying Jesus Christ is the true God. He's not saying he is coming in the form of the true God or he is kind of like the true God, but that Jesus Christ is the true God. Jesus Christ is equal to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. And we thank God for the Trinity this morning and for the equality of the Trinity in bringing about our redemption. And so Jesus Christ is called Wonderful. He is called Counselor. He is called Mighty God. And what a farce it would be for someone who denied the deity of Christ to celebrate Christmas. And thank God today that when we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the truth of Christmas, that Christ is Mighty God and that He is God in the flesh. Then notice the Bible says He is the Everlasting Father. And I believe this phrase not only again teaches us concerning the deity of Christ or the equality of Christ with the Father, but also the eternality of Christ as the everlasting Father. That's why Jesus spoke on one occasion and said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He was speaking of His eternality. The Bible says in John 10 and verse 30, "I and my Father are one." You see, Jesus Christ was describing there His deity, His eternal nature, as He is described as the everlasting Father. Then notice what it says in verse 6 also. It says that He is the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace. We mentioned that a moment ago, that when Jesus Christ comes, He will finally and ultimately bring peace to this world. There will be righteous rule in this world when He is ruling and reigning. He is the Prince of Peace. That's why the Bible says in Luke 2 and verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You see, the message of that first Christmas morning was, on earth peace and goodwill toward men. And we thank God for the peace of Jesus Christ. You see, in His names are the promises of peace. When we read the names of Christ, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, we have the promise of peace that we can hold on to. That when we know Christ personally, then a peace overwhelms our soul. When we know that we're saved and when we know that we're right with God, then we know Him also as the Prince of Peace. And we need not wait for some coming kingdom to experience that peace, but we can know that peace today as we rest in who He is and in what He's done for us. And so we see in Isaiah 9 and verse 6 that salvation and hope and peace are all found in Jesus Christ. And if you were to go under a tree and pull out any gift the world has to offer, there are no gifts like the gifts of salvation, hope, and peace available through Jesus Christ. Some of our church family knows that I've enjoyed over the years the Christmas film, It's a Wonderful Life. And there's just something about It's a Wonderful Life. I mean, I think somewhere in the book of Luke it says that all good Christian families watch It's a Wonderful Life sometime prior to Christmas. I haven't found it, but if I keep looking, it's got to be in one of the 112 versions that are out there somewhere that you read It's a Wonderful Life, right? And I look forward to watching that film this week somewhere. I was thinking this past week about the film, It's a Wonderful Life, and I was thinking, we've got to watch it. My kids are going to stray spiritually if we don't watch it, and I got to get that on the schedule. And normally what they do is they sleep through it, but I watch it. But you know, I was thinking about the fact that Jimmy Stewart passed away. And one thing about even wonderful lives, they come to an end. They come to an end. Even wonderful lives come to an end. In fact, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And I'll tell you, my friend, the only way to really know a wonderful life is to know the Savior. Because then you can live your life knowing that no matter what happens at the end of this life, I'll be with the Prince of Peace. I'll be with my Savior. Salvation, hope, and peace are all found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how we love Him today for what He's done for us. Oh, how we thank God for His salvation to each of us. I don't often read stories in my sermons, but one of the ladies of our church gave this to my wife this past week, and I thought it really depicted what salvation, hope, and peace offer to each of us. It was only 5 days before Christmas The spirit of the season hadn't caught up with me, even though the cars packed the lot of our Houston area Target shopping center. Inside the store, it was worse. Shopping carts and last-minute shoppers jammed the aisles. Why did I come today, I wondered. My feet ached almost as much as my head. My list contained names of several people who claimed they wanted nothing. But I knew their feelings would be hurt if I didn't give them something. Buying for someone who had everything and deploring the high cost of items, I considered gift buying anything but fun. Hurriedly, I filled my shopping cart with last-minute items and proceeded to the long checkout lines. I picked the shortest, but it looked as if it would mean at least a 20-minute wait. In front of me were two small children, a boy of about 10 and a younger girl about 5. The boy wore a ragged coat, enormously large. Tattered tennis shoes jutted far out in front of his much too short jeans. He clutched several crumpled dollar bills in his grimy hands. The girl's clothing resembled her brother's. Her head was a matted mass of curly hair. Reminders of an evening meal showed up on her small face. She carried a beautiful pair of shiny gold house slippers. As the Christmas music sounded in the store stereo system, the girl hummed along, off-key but happily. When we finally approached the checkout register, the girl carefully placed the shoes on the counter. She treated them as though they were a treasure. The clerk rang up her bill. "That will be $6.09," the clerk said, as the boy laid his crumpled dollars atop the stand while he searched his pockets, finally coming up with $3.12. "I guess we'll have to put them back," he bravely said. "We'll come back some other time, maybe tomorrow." With that statement, a soft sob broke out from the little girl. "But Jesus would have loved these shoes," she cried. "Well, we'll go home and work some more. Don't cry. We'll come back," he said. Quickly, I handed $3 to the cashier. These children had waited in line for a long time. And after all, it was Christmas. Suddenly, a pair of arms came around me and a small voice said, "Thank you, sir." "What did you mean when you said Jesus would like the shoes?" I asked. The small boy answered, "Our mommy is sick and going to heaven. Daddy said she might go before Christmas to be with Jesus." The girl spoke, "My Sunday school teacher said the streets in heaven are shiny gold, just like these shoes. Won't mommy be beautiful walking on those streets with these matching shoes?" My eyes flooded as I looked into her tear-streaked face. "Yes," I answered, "I'm sure she will." Silently, I thanked God for using those children to remind me of the true spirit of giving. Christmas is about the birth of Jesus, whom God sent to show the world how much He really loves us. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, that's God's love letter to you and to me. God saying in His love letter, "I promise to you salvation. Unto you a child is born. Unto you a son is given. I promise to you hope. The government that seems in such disarray today, one day very soon will be on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. I promise to you a message of peace. That peace that this world can't seem to ever find. I promise you a message of peace because Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And my friend, to know that Christ is in your heart, to know that heaven is your home, is the greatest hope and peace anyone could ever know. Father, we thank you this morning for the fact that you've given so much to us. You've given to us your word. And Father, you've given to us the hope that only Jesus can bring. And now, Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts at this hour. I pray that you would help each of us to really focus in on what you've done for us.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And from the entire staff at Daily in the Word and Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College, we wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Christ-centered New Year. We sure hope that this season you'll truly make Jesus Christ the center of your Christmas and the center of your life. Before we close today's program, I invite you to consider the question, have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior? We heard about that in this morning's message, and friend, it's as simple as making a faith decision to once and for all let go of whatever you're trusting for eternal salvation and to trust Christ alone. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, you could call right now. You could bow your head and heart, and in the privacy of your own life, invite Jesus Christ into your life as your one and only Savior once and for all. It's a simple decision, but it's a great decision. As you enjoy a busy but memory-filled holiday season, I want to encourage you to visit us at dailyintheword.org and click on the link to the bookstore. You'll find not only some great resources to strengthen your own walk with Christ, you'll find a lot of wonderful gift ideas, books and resources for spiritual growth, the kinds of gifts that are Christ-centered, that are biblical, that will help those you love to strengthen their own faith over the Christmas season and well into the new year. All of these resources are found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org, and click on the link that says bookstore. Friend, you can contact us here at Daily in the Word. We love to hear from our listeners. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.